of hanging in against Purdue, 62-58.
Not going away.
Not dead yet. They just hang right in there on this. That game started at 11 o'clock. Well, Martin Luther King Day basketball. Some NBA going on right now, too, I think.
Yeah, we got two going on in the association. Pelicans Celtics and Hornets Knicks.
All right. Dude, there's a game starting every hour. Well, okay. So, yeah, we got Pelicans Celtics, Hornets Knicks started at noon. Sixers Wizards starting a couple minutes.
Yep.
Nets Cavs at 2. Bulls Grizzlies. Hello, that's a game.
Yeah.
At 2:30 on TNT. We got Bucks Hawks today. That's a significant one.
How much would I have to pay to watch Blazers Magic?
I was looking at some of that. I was like, so it's a good list until you keep going.
Blazers Magic, no Dame Lillard.
I will not be watching Blazers Magic.
Okay.
I will also not be watching Thunder Mavs.
That doesn't do it for you?
Maybe. Maybe you can convince me. And I have been this way on the Lakers basically since LeBron got there. I don't think they're that interesting, but yet they are on national TV like every day.
And I can't
look
away.
I get it. They have LeBron. I don't think it's a particularly good team.
Oh, no. They'll be lucky to make the play-in.
Right. At this point, definitely what they are right now. That's certainly not a hot take.
As presently constructed.
I was saying this the year they won the title, though. I was like, I don't know if they're that good. And then they won the title. They won the Mickey Mouse title.
They did. Can't take that away from them.
So we're sportsing all afternoon today. Kirk Ferentz gets a contract extension. Kirk Ferentz, the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, will be making $7 million a year for the duration of the deal, which is 8 more years, which runs through the 2029 season, in which he will be age 74.
Wow, okay.
Yep. His buyout after this year, if they were to fire him this year because they were so astronomically bad, which not really on the table, but it's fun to look at, especially given that we talk a lot about buyouts around here and how ridiculous they are. This one for Kirk on his new deal, if Iowa were to tank and they were to fire him without cause, or the cause is that they suck, $43
million. Whoa.
$43 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Fun times.
I want Kirk's agent.
Yeah, Kirk, that's long been the conversation. I will say this. My thoughts changed a little bit. It was regarded for a long time, and he's been there since 1998 or 9 at this point. And for a long time, it was kind of regarded as like, well, it's kind of a bad deal. I mean, he's getting paid like a premier coach in college football, and I was not really... They're not winning conference championships. Getting to halfway decent bowl games, winning 7-8. Now they've stepped up as a program over the past, handful of years. When met with kind of a do or die year in 2015, they did. And went all the way to the Rose Bowl. Almost all the way to the playoff. One play short against Michigan State in the Big Ten title game. And really since then, it's been a little bit of a different program. They've been a top 25 type of team, seemingly ever since then, which is different than what it was before. The opinions have kind of changed, I think, and it has to do a little bit in how we view things around here or what's going on around here. Would you pay $7 million a year for stability? Would you pay $7 million a year for the relative success that Iowa has had? It's easier said than done. It's not just like, well, you get them and it's done. But that sounds kind of nice. Right? And now, I've long said this too. I don't want people to lower their expectations based off of what you haven't seen recently around here or what you've seen elsewhere. I think Nebraska's goal always should be to, you know, find a coach that's going to win you conference championships. But the easiest path to doing that, the easiest path to winning a conference championship at a place like Nebraska, is creating some stability. Creating a program where you can develop, good players into great players in your system. Getting them to the NFL. That's the path. And it's been, I think that's taken a little bit of an adjustment. I mean, it's just this. Not to make it all about Nebraska, but, I mean, that's how we view it. You have to view Nebraska as a developmental program. Nebraska should view itself as a developmental type of program. So what's the best way to create that environment? It's finding a coach. And then if that works, reward them for that stability, right? Maybe the thought on that has changed a little bit over the past 10 years or so. Maybe it's being in the Big Ten Conference, certainly what Nebraska has been through, and now what Iowa's doing. I'd pay however much it takes. And I think some of this is a legacy deal. Some of it is. Like, is Kirk Ferentz going to be coaching at Iowa until he's 74 years old? I don't think so. But he's been around for a long time. And I think each year you'd kind of, and part of the reason this comes through is because each year over the last couple, you've had to answer the question of, how soon is he going to retire? Is he going to hand it over to somebody else? And I'm sure that gets used against you. So let's answer the question. And you can retire now, whenever that is, over the next handful of years. You could do that on your own terms. You can answer that question for everybody else before we have to ask it anymore. Because it's pretty clear he's going to be able to coach at Iowa as long as he wants.
Yeah, even if it's recommended that he not be the coach.
Yep. That was the other thing over the weekend.
He had a great MLK weekend.
So, yeah, yikes. So, right on top of that, almost at the exact same time, Kirk Ferentz abruptly dissolves the Iowa Football Diversity Advisory Committee. First reported by the Gazette in Iowa. A year and a half after the University of Iowa Athletics Department formed an alumni advisory committee in the wake of players alleging the football program fostered a culture of racism and bullying, head coach Kirk Ferentz last week abruptly dissolved that volunteer group. Ferentz said in an email to the group, "I have come to the decision that this is an appropriate time to dissolve our committee as it stands currently. As we start a new calendar year and prepare to move forward with our preparation for next season, 2022 season, I am giving thought to how we restructure the committee/board in a way that best serves our program moving forward." Now, here's the thing. The optics of it aren't good, but that's not everything. And I think probably what Ferentz is trying to do is make the advisory board, make the committee work, right? Not work for him, but work. I don't know if I want to say that I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but these things can get awfully political And, you know, there was some messages in being exchanged in the group that Ferentz said had nothing to do with why they're dissolving it, but there was some messages from David Porter, former Hawkeye offensive lineman, who suggested to the group in a chain of text messages on January 2nd that it's time to, quote, bring in a new head football coach, football staff, and athletic director. Seemingly, in the context, out of nowhere. Not in the grand scheme of things, but there was a contentious meeting involved in there somewhere as well. You don't want it to be a distraction. At the same time, I understand. Yeah. Doesn't look great. But that's not the start and the end of it. Let's take a phone call here from Terry on the hotline. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Great show again this afternoon.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Hey, I think that's just the standard, really, of Iowa football with Ferentz is, show up every once in a while, and at least make a run for something, and then get into a bowl game and average 8 wins. And I would probably say most of the talent he's getting there is probably because they're able to turn these guys over, a good number of them, and specifically, like, you look at Noah Fant. He went to Iowa because they had a great tight ends coach that could get him in the NFL. And if it went anything further than that, then so be it. But I think that's just their standard of what they expect from Ferentz and that they're okay with it. Whereas the standard here at Nebraska, I mean, that's just not going to fly. But anyways, I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Terry, I don't know, man. I mean, let's see. Since 2015, they've won 12, 8, 8, 9, 10, and then 6 in the COVID year, and then 10 this past year. I'm not sure that I'm saying no to that even now.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It is.
I mean, and if you're going to go to an upper-tier bowl, that's good. And to be honest with you, that's kind of where Nebraska was for a long time, is either playing for championship or getting those 9-10 win seasons, which obviously he has established something that we've lost. So hats off to him for getting that $7 million a year. And I guess that's really kind of their standard. And it's scary to think that now that's the standard that we're trying to get to, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. Thanks for the call, Terry. Appreciate it. I mean, yeah, things have certainly changed. There's no doubt about it. And I'll say this. I mean, I'll list you the win totals again. I think it's a different program since about 2015. That's a line. Lost in the Rose Bowl, but won 12. Outback Bowl the next year, had a chance to win 9. Fell short. 8-5. 8-5 the next year was a little bit of a down year. 9-4, went back to the Outback Bowl and won it. 10-3, won the Holiday Bowl. Didn't have a bowl game in 2020, but went 6-2 and really lost their two first games of the year, their first two games of the year, if I remember correctly. I think the Purdue and they lost them close. And then 10-3 this year with a chance to get to 11. It doesn't happen very often. It doesn't. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about Nebraska versus Iowa and standard and that type of deal. Not only does that not happen very often at Iowa, it doesn't happen very often. You don't get the chance to win 11 games very much. You win double-digit games, that's good. I mean, that's only not accepted at a few programs across the country, and Nebraska is certainly not one of them. And honestly, genuinely, there was only one time where they haven't been, where they have been one of those programs. I mean, double-digit wins, that's a heck of a mark. And you can look at Nebraska and what they did and everything that they've done post Tom Osborne. And Bo Pelini won double-digit games 3 times. Frank won 3 double-digit games 3 times as well. 4 times, actually. Well, I guess 03 might not have counted. they got to that 10. That's good for anybody, man. And maybe that thought has kind of changed a little bit. And yeah, it has to do with Bo Pelini. And kind of that whole saga. And look, in 2014, by the end of it, I was like, yeah, you know what? I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense to move on. But if you're doing that, you better get it right afterwards. And what Nebraska hasn't done is get it right afterwards. And that's kind of the issue. So when you have it in your pocket, you want to try and keep it in your pocket. It doesn't have to be blind, though. It doesn't have to be blind. Maybe Iowa could be better with that. But when you have it in your pocket, you want to certainly keep it there as long as you can. So you want to pay for it, and Iowa stepped up for it there. By the way, 10 seconds left in Purdue and Illinois. We have a nice game.
Very nice. Double nice.
69-69. Andre Curbelo back from his concussion. Knocks down a shot.
I mean, let's not illegally disseminate what's happening.
Let's not.
But we're going overtime.
Yeah. Yep. Purdue and Illinois going to overtime. Purdue could not get a quality look at the horn. That is an increasing thing in college basketball in these late game situations. I mean, we see it often in the NCAA tournament. The last minutes of the game tend to be a little bit underwhelming for that reason. Just don't quite get high levels of execution, whether it's that on the offensive end or the defense is just kind of really, you know, really locking in and officials not wanting to call that much.
Not the way it was drawn up, I imagine.
No, I don't think so. It's just execution. So 69-69 as they go to overtime.
In Boston, the Celtics have just taken a lead towards the end of the third quarter.
All right.
After being down 18.
To the Zion-less Pelicans?
That is correct.
When might we see Zion Williamson again?
Not looking good for this year, right?
Not at all. I would like to just see him in I would like to, you know, maybe if there's a picture of him out there. I don't know that anybody's actually talked to him. He's just putting out statements. There was a picture that was floating around. He was looking plump.
Well, that's the other weird thing. For a guy that age, you don't see or hear a lot from him. He keeps quiet.
He does.
I mean, I'm sure he has social media. Nothing he posts ever pops up in my feed. I don't follow him.
Yeah, I rarely see it.
Yeah.
If at all. He's just been gone from our brains.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Purdue and Illinois headed to overtime. We'll keep you updated on that one. Let's take a break here. A couple more things. I have some thoughts. Maybe some takes from NFL weekend, the NFL wildcard weekend that may... Also, a take on on Taco Bell commercials.
That's right. You had a very strong Taco Bell take in the show prep today. We should get into that.
It's in there, and we'll do that next here on 1620 The Zone.